There are so many things vying for your time. Your calendar is packed, I know. And I know in my own advisory business, if you were an outsider, you had to provide major value to get on my calendar. So if you were a wholesaler, and some people consider that a dirty word, but if you were a wholesaler, you had some barriers to break through before you got past my calendar gatekeepers. And there's a variety of reactions to wholesalers, right? There are terrible ones and there are amazing ones. And today we're going to talk about how to get the most out of your wholesaler relationship without wasting your time. And if you're thinking, Libby, I am just here for the wholesaler money to support my marketing events, I feel that. That was exactly how I started out with my wholesalers, viewing them as deep pockets. And what I've learned over time, and really what I know now as a speaker and workshop host, is that they can actually be an integral part of your team and provide a ton of value. A good wholesaler does more than just schlep their product or their fun family. So in today's episode, I've got Dan Sullivan, who is host of the Internal Use Only podcast here, to help us understand how to get the most out of our relationships with internal and external wholesalers. And you know me, I don't want you wasting a single second of your precious time. And I want you to know what resources are available to help you grow your business. You know, on this podcast, I am not going to let anything slide through that isn't going to make you more efficient, more effective, or make your business more enjoyable. So let's dive in.
Good morning, Dan. I am so happy to have you here.
Good morning, Libby. Thank you for having me. It is a pleasure.
Yeah, well, welcome to The Efficient Advisor. So I'm excited to dig into this conversation today. Mainly I'm thinking, when I think wholesaler, or I think, you know, like asset distribution, or I have lots of things that pop into my mind. So for advisors, and I had some really good experiences and I had some really bad experiences. And the definition of a wholesaler or an internal wholesaler, or an external wholesaler, for me, there's a wide variety of individuals. So why don't you share what you do as a quote unquote wholesaler?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely correct. I would love to have a mosaic of everybody's impressions of the wholesaler community collectively, all walks of life, all different types, roles, and all of that. For my own personal background, I started as an internal in 2015, I believe it was. And I worked on a handful of asset manager desks. Some were smaller firms, some were much larger. And then I moved up towards an external. And at the moment now, I'm still, I would say, wholesaling, just not for like a large asset manager, more in the financial technology space. But while I was a wholesaler, I was captivated by all of the personalities, by all of the culture of the role, and just the dynamics that are at play, whether you're a retail wholesaler working directly with financial advisors, or more of an institutional wholesaler that works with public pension plans. So I had, in a compressed amount of time, I had a really great opportunity to work in all of those channels. And it's been such a unique perspective that part of what this podcast has become is to help to bridge the gap between all of these distribution firms, asset managers, when I say distribution firms, asset managers, their sales forces, and this whole community of financial professionals. So maybe that's what brought us to this conversation today, and we'll let us have some fun here in the next time, or in the time that we've got together.
Okay. So for like a new advisor listening, what does a internal, external, kind of doesn't matter, what does a wholesaler do? Like, what is the objective as far as you see it?
The wholesaler is the face of the, I'll restate this. You can probably edit this out. So sorry for that. Best way to describe the wholesaler is that they are the point of contact for an asset manager, their funds, and any other resources that might be valuable for a financial advisor. So they have different tiers. So internal is usually somebody who, not always, but typically earlier on in their career, they work at a home office. They're primarily making outbound phone calls. And in most cases, they're paired directly with either one external wholesaler or perhaps multiple ones, depending on how the firm has their team structured. So they operate almost as a conjoined sales team, with external being the outward facing, in the field, boots on the ground, local person, and then somewhere remotely, or at least from the asset manager's home office, you'll find the internal. There are some hybrids now that we've got this more remote setup where some folks live in a certain area, then they'll travel out to their region. But by and large, not sure if any advisor would ever pay attention to this, but you could probably Google or look up insert asset manager firm wholesaler map or distribution map. And there's typically just regions that will be carved out. And so geographically, wholesalers typically have one specific territory and they'll have a investment sales quota or AUM quota for any single calendar year. So that's kind of like the inner workings of the actual wholesaler role.
Okay. And so then why as an advisor, why would I let you into my office? Why do I let you onto the calendar? How do wholesalers enhance the practice of an advisor?
Firm resources have evolved so much now that the partnership between asset management firms and advisors is evolving very rapidly. I don't think anyone that's tuning in would be wrong to think that there are a large contingent of wholesalers that might be perceived or simply are just product slingers. So for that group where someone might just come in and say, here's my fact sheet, here's why I should take a meeting. If I was an advisor, I might reconsider why I would take that meeting. So I think that line of thinking is very much on the forefront of many people's minds. But in practicality, a valuable wholesaler has their pulse on a number of things that are going to be relevant to the advisor. Even if you carve out the investment management expertise and product knowledge, which is one of the top things that advisors look for in their wholesalers. If you're familiar with the group Y charts, they recently did a survey, which had a number over 100 respondents from advisors. And atop their list of things they want from wholesalers is product knowledge and product expertise, right? Financial advisors, at least financial planners, I would think at this stage, maybe I would even ask this question back to you, but like how much time do advisors want to be spending on actual investments, right? Like, and when I say investments, the portfolio, the funds, they might not be that primary focus. So the wholesalers can really provide that, or the asset management firms, portfolio managers, collective economic outlook and insights. Those things can really help fill the gap for the investment outlook. But then outside of that, so many planning resources or webinars or educational sessions are now being rolled out by these advisors, portfolio construction tools, rolled out by these asset management firms, just to be value add to these advisors. So that was a super long way of just saying that outside of just the fact sheet or investment, wholesalers are individually very resourceful and have a good pulse on what's happening in the whole, like the advisor community and what works for other advisors that they may try to be peers with, if that makes sense.
Yes. Okay. So it's funny, when I started my business, so this is back in like 2004. So I'm going to take you back a couple decades here because I'm old. But when I started my business, I remember my colleagues, you know, I started getting calls from wholesalers, and I remember making a few phone calls and going like, okay, well, like what's up with this? Like, what is this whole thing here? And it was really funny because I think I remember three gentlemen in particular were like, oh, definitely meet with them because they are the ones that will help you pay for client events. And I remember being like, oh, well, that's it. That's an interesting take. And so I went into those initial wholesaler relationships with like this preconceived notion that the objective was for them to give me money to do things for clients. And, you know, naive it was, but over the, you know, the 16, 17 years that I ran my business, wholesalers actually became a really important resource for me, and not just like, hey, here's $500 to support a client event, but really for exactly what you were saying, portfolio management, construction, like helping me really understand like, hey, you have this fund in your portfolio. Here's why it underperformed. Here's why it, you know, did really well. We bought CVS late. We sold it a little too early. I'm thinking of like one particular conversation that I remember having. And I remember at some point kind of everything clicking and going, oh, wait a minute. Like there's a significant difference between great wholesalers, good wholesalers, and then the ones that you probably shouldn't let in onto your calendar. And learning kind of who those people were and how I could tap them for help to really support the practice. And so it was a really kind of interesting evolution for me. But yeah, when I first was like getting wind of wholesalers and kind of what this was all about, it was really like, no, you talk to them specifically because they give you money.
I definitely failed to acknowledge that aspect. So I'm very happy that you pointed it out. Yes, there is a, let's just call it a T&E budget that each and every wholesaler will have, particularly externals. It can vary by their firm, but let's just call it anywhere from broadly like $15,000 to $50,000 per calendar year. that's an individual wholesaler might have available for allocations to advisor client events, or you know, they will sort and tier that by their clients, right? So things that will drastically impact the distribution of those funds would be the relationship and dollars in specific funds, prospective opportunities. But 1000%, yes, sponsoring meals, sponsoring happy hours, being a participant in the client events that we know are, you know, up there for the overall cost to them for the advisors. Those are definitely roles that wholesalers for sure play, whether it's like one person doing it all, or, you know, wrangling up entire wholesaler crews from other firms to co-sponsor. That definitely happens.
Well, you know, and when you're a new advisor, you're like, wow, $500 to help. That sounds amazing. So it took a really long time for me, and maybe admittedly too long, to really understand what a good wholesaler advisor relationship looks like. So in your opinion, having done this for a long time and kind of being the expert on distribution, what do you think really is sort of the foundation, or what do you think makes a great advisor wholesaler relationship?
Do you want this to be from the perspective of the wholesaler, or from the advisor, or the marrying of the two?
Let's go from the wholesaler, and then we'll take it from the advisor side.
Perfect. This is why I like these conversations, because it's not often you'll get people just kind of talking as if it's like peer to peer. Here's probably the reality of it. So just objectively, just like advisors have their own metrics each year, or, you know, they want to have their assets under management grow, that's the exact same primary target for a wholesaler. So it's typically gross new money or gross new investments into a fund or fund family over the calendar year. So when a wholesaler starts their calendar year, they'll look at an AUM of what advisor has the most money in my funds. So who has the most either clients, or maybe they made a big allocation in the last year or 2 years, whatever. So I would say, like, the highest priority is always going to be, or at least you'll take care of and spend the most time with the person who probably has the most money for you, just as a client relationship experience. From their prospective groups, so those are all just ways that wholesalers typically just think of who could potentially become that next person that has 5, 10, 15, 20 million in this fund for me. So that's kind of how I would just say, at a baseline, thinking of it from that perspective. But on the more qualitative or subjective side, one area that is super, super helpful is just a completely open line of communication, very specifically for things like potential investments from onboarding new clients. In the world we live in today, model placements are a huge trend. So for advisor teams that have, maybe they have an analyst or somebody else that simply builds, maybe there's a risk scaled number of portfolios all the way from conservative to aggressive. Those portfolios probably have, let's say, four or five fund families in there, or they'll work with the preferred families. Wholesalers really want to get into that. They want to say, all right, I want my fixed income fund to be a part of this, so when new clients come in, I benefit from that. So having that open line of communication about how you make an investment, when you make those investment decisions, and then communicating and speaking at that right cadence, I have at least found that to be what makes super, like, healthy wholesaler advisor relationships, just so that you avoid a situation like you described before, where, like, the wholesaler is just calling you out of the blue every day being like, saw you made a trade, or did you see that performance yesterday was up, down, whatever. Like, that isn't really productive. So it's understanding the cadence and investment decision-making process. A couple things that are super helpful for wholesalers and advisors.
Yeah. So from an advisor side, it's interesting because, you know, it's hard when you are getting calls from new wholesalers and giving them time on your calendar. So for someone like me that only had 3 days a week and not a whole lot of, like, extra time, you as a wholesaler, who do you think is the most important person in the practice to be meeting with? Is it the advisor? Is it the analyst? Is it everybody as a team or as a whole? So, like, as an advisor who's receiving calls from internals, externals, what makes the most sense for us to get the most out of a meeting with a wholesaler?
That is such a good question. And one that I just, like, I wish there were just labels on, let's say you're looking at a website of an advisor team. I wholesalers would probably love to just have the label of, like, either who spends the most time on this, who needs to, because there isn't really a great filtering of information with regard to investment decision makers at any given advisor firm or company, right? In my own view, I think you'd want to be interacting most with the person primarily that's making the investment decisions. But as you think about working with a group, almost like an enterprise relationship, I suppose you don't want to limit who you speak with, but we're just living in this world now. And I say this out of just complete transparency, is that like the way that we are now, it is not wrong to ask yourself, why do I need to see this person? What medium does that need to be? Does it have to be in person? And I think that most firms are still very, very behind in that logic. I still think they believe that the best and only thing is to have someone in the office, shake hands, say hi to everybody. And that's the golden ticket to becoming the next big wholesaler. And quite frankly, like, I just don't necessarily believe that. So the logic behind all this would be, understand who needs to meet and when, figure out the best forum for that. And, but at the end of the day, person making the investment decisions, regardless of who that is probably the gatekeeper, the best gatekeeper for a wholesaler.
I love that. And so we think about as advisors, like, what is our value proposition to clients? Is it fair? Is it appropriate? Is there a great way that you see for an advisor to kind of filter out, kind of like how we filter out, like, oh, would this client be an ideal client? Is there a way for us to kind of filter out, is this wholesaler an ideal wholesaler?
That is a fantastic idea. And I'm glad you mentioned that. I'll tease some resources that I'm going to be launching with the internal use only platform over the next couple of months. But by doing now, this will probably end up being episode 45 or so for this show. I've sort of picked up on what people ask about, and that type of information for advisors, I think, would be tremendously valuable just to get an understanding of, shortlist this for me, like, help me understand what wholesalers are out there, who's out there, and what each of those firms actually offers from value add standpoint or resources. Well, that's one really interesting aspect, because everything is super fragmented. Like, asset managers don't talk to each other. They don't go out there thinking, how do I work with this group to make sure that we collectively better serve advisors? That is not part of their playbook. They just want to raise assets, and it's more of a direct competition. So I am working on something that will help to at least regionally filter some of those out, and at least just make it a free resource for advisors to say, hey, if you want to just get a quick filtering on this, check this out. Or at least here's summarizing this lexicon of information that you might have to look at 12 different websites to find. So that's something, the stuff that we're working on. I'm actually very, very timely that you brought that up as far as how to go about doing that. I can tell you a short list of some firms that have good and bad and these value add things, but it's not organized and coordinated, right? It's just more of my personal opinion.
Oh, well, I love that, because we didn't plan that at all. So that's always really fun when someone's like, I've been thinking about that and I have something for you. Because I know, especially people that listen to this podcast, love the like super tactical, like, give me the thing, tell me what, like, help me move this forward, help me move the needle, without making me kind of like figure it all out from scratch, because nobody has time for that. And it takes a lot of time, energy, and knowledge to even create a resource like that. So that is huge. And when that's available, let me know. And I would be glad to share that with our community.
And anyone tuning in that has just heard this, if you have a short list of things that you think would be the most relevant, let Livy know, reach out, we'll incorporate it into this. It's very much so a build what the community wants type of resource here that we're working on.
Yeah, well, and I love that. So something I have found really fascinating, so since I sold my practice and have been doing more of the podcast, more of the speaking, I cannot tell you how many wholesalers have hired me, which I found to be just fascinating, right? Because I'm not a investment fund genius. I do practice management, but I was really surprised at how many wholesalers, as part of their value add to their best clients, to their best advisors, are offering like 3-part series workshops on how to get your systems and processes in order, and things that like practice management, which I never really, at least in my experience, associated with wholesalers. So I think wholesalers have a lot to offer. And I think they're really starting to see, kind of like financial advisors, right? Like when I first started, it was, hey, what do you need? And then it evolved into, well, let me lead with planning and then backfill with what you need. And I was kind of thinking like, gosh, I wonder if this is sort of a trend with wholesalers, that like advisors are now taking care of a client's whole picture and whole need. Advisors have a need for practice management, have a need for systems and processes, have a need to be able to implement the products and services that wholesalers are offering in a way that's efficient and effective. So I thought that was a really fascinating kind of shift from what I had experienced in my advisory business is I'd seen wholesalers willing to support events and kind of, you know, doing some unique and interesting things, but offering like true practice management, I thought, wow, that's a really different take and I would never have expected it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what you're offering is unique and distinct because it's not affiliated with a big asset management firm who is blatantly obviously trying to use their resources to get someone in the door for their fund families, right? So I think that's where the trend that you're describing 1000% is accurate. If you think of 15, 20 years ago, $10,000 being spent on steak and dinners and drinks for individual advisors, you know, trading A shares, that's not happening anymore. So how does a wholesaler stay relevant and meet their prospective advisor clients where they are? It's focusing on what matters to them, practice management. A lot of behavioral finance and behavioral coaching is happening. So to what extent can you provide some resources there? So they are definitely looking to, I think, sharpen their tools on what they can offer. So I'm glad that wholesalers have found you. And for anyone that might have a bad perception of the wholesalers, there are so many ones out there that are really just trying to be relevant and as helpful as they can. So hopefully they find you, Libby, and hopefully they can get feedback from advisors on what actually matters and what they can actually do. And wholesalers are resourceful. They'll help go find it, whether it's from their firm or somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because, you know, more towards the top of the episode, we were talking about like what advisors can expect or how do you filter. So maybe that's even a way of like, tell me about how you add value to an advisory practice that's not product specific. You know, how do you go about, or like, what is sort of your market strategy for how do I actually serve advisors in a way that's bigger than just placing my product? And I think that would have a huge appeal to a lot of advisors. Cause I know like me, especially if you've been in the business for a while, you have this preconceived notion, and maybe just like clients do, of a financial advisor, and how do you break that barrier? How do you deliver your pitch in a way that shows that you care more just than about like Fidelity funds?
Right. Right. And that's, and I can say this from having been in the shoes of a wholesaler before, it can be very uncomfortable because at the end of the day, you're measured on sales for your funds. But in today's world, the most relevant and most important ways to, I think, build relationships and grow your practice has nothing to do with the actual funds. I think that's a huge, huge, there's a massive chasm between asset management firm, wholesalers, and who they're actually serving and what's meaningful. So I think that's where sometimes I don't want to use the phrase tension, but when it's not so direct as far as like, here's what you can go to this firm for, or this wholesaler has that, which is X, Y, and Z subject. I think that's why, because nobody views it like that. So those are some of the problems that the platform that I've worked on, we're helping to try to solve, but it's like, it would be a no-brainer, right? Like why don't we have more of that information that just says, this firm has this value add resource or is at least used for this subject. Aggregate all of that, make it available to people to better their collective businesses. That's a win-win-win for everybody involved, right? It just doesn't exist right now.
Okay. And so the more you're talking about, the more I'm kind of obsessed with it, right? So I'm thinking from like an efficiency standpoint, like, well, how do I figure out the good wholesalers from the not so great ones? Do I have to put the time in, right, to really sit and meet and give them multiple attempts? And then there's this piece of me that's like, but sometimes I just need the product. Like sometimes I really just need the thing and someone to explain the thing to me. I don't necessarily need the handholding and coddling. I don't need 47 people giving me practice management advice or, you know, all these other resources. Sometimes I really do just need the thing. So I don't know. Did I just contradict myself? I probably did.
You know, I don't think you did. What we highlighted before is just that like direct communication is like, it's okay now. I just think it's okay to say very directly. And even some of the advisors that I worked with, I loved it. Like I didn't need to, there was no beating around the bush with what they needed from us. When it was just, give me this, give me that. And that's totally fine. That's purely a transactional way of communicating, which is great because it's directly correlated to them either like positioning our funds or new money coming in. The other aspect though, is where all these groups are trying to, where we may have contradicted ourselves is that like the assumption is that, damn, I can't go wine and dine anybody now and realistically look at that as an expense that's going to gain me new business. So I have to start looking to these other tools, which we reasonably hope that they might be relevant. If we miss that mark, then it kind of is another notch against the wholesaler community, which is just throwing things at advisors that they may or may not even care about, right? So it's where some of this centralization and some of this two-way communication between individual advisors and the wholesaling community is what I think can be right-sized or at least more efficient. And that's what I'm curious to solve, because it's just, it doesn't make sense for their, like, let's say you're in the Northeast. I forget where you're based out of. Where do you currently live now?
Cincinnati.
Okay. So like Ohio. So mm-hmm. Let's say you've got 30 wholesalers in that area generally covering it. They are all going to directly reach out to one person, right? So you, like, I don't know how many emails someone might get. Like a woman I worked with said she gets 1,000 emails a week from asset management firms. And I am just like, that is miserable. That is an absolute nightmare. And the fact that that's reality is that you've got all these 30 firms inward looking at one person without any idea of what that person wants, but the wholesaler thinks their role is to figure that out. So if there's a more better way to project that out, like in mass, those are things that have me interested. So we're talking out loud at this point, maybe.
Yeah, we totally are. Like, I mean, see the thing, like I just did a workshop for Bright House, and it was a wholesaler who he kind of identified the top 10, not top his top 10 advisors, but the top 10 advisors that he knew well enough to realize that their practice was kind of a mess in the back end. And that's who he chose to work with. So I was like, wow, that's amazing that he even knows their practices well enough to determine that, yes, hey, these are the ones who could really benefit from some systems and processes. Okay. So sorry, I digress. I'm like thinking out loud and processing, but let's talk about the five things that or that the wholesaling community wished advisors knew.
Definitely. Yes. I'll give my friends over at Touchstone Funds, Kurt Dupuy and Steve Syed, a shout. They have their own podcast as well, which is more for the advisor community, but they are also wholesalers. And when I saw their show, I said, hey, love that you're doing this. Great idea. And we were thinking about doing an episode together. And naturally we landed on what are things that wholesalers, when we talk with our friends or when we talk with our divisional or national sales leaders, heads of sales, what would we want the advisor community to know? This is so topical considering we just talked about all these fragmented views and how there's not as much like actual direct lines of communication. And without going through like the five of them in a listicle, it was so refreshing to have that conversation, because we interact, like wholesalers have meeting targets typically, which mean that there's thousands of meetings in every single calendar year. So they're meeting with thousands of advisors. So one of the biggest things that we distilled was that like the wholesaler is a good wholesaler, just like you would acknowledge, a much more valuable resource for things outside of just investment management. Whether that firm is equipped with the full resources or not, you can just casually ask wholesalers a lot of questions about, well, what are other people doing well that I should be replicating? What tools or programs or processes are in place that you've heard of are successful that I may not have picked up? So those are all of these like little whispers throughout the region or territory that wholesalers, I don't know if advisors think on it, but wholesalers have thousands of touch points throughout the calendar year. So they probably know a little bit more about things non-investment product related than you might lead on to, and very much ties into the work that I think you're doing. So that one was certainly interesting. Other funny ones, I laugh at this one because I'm sure you have worked with or interacted with advisors that can be very reactive. Would that be fair?
Who, advisors reactive? No, never heard of it.
Some hotheads. So we laughed and we said, wholesalers don't have the portfolio managers on speed dial. So if you're invested in a $3 or $4 billion mutual fund, and an advisor freaks out, calls the wholesaler and says, I need to talk to the portfolio manager. First and foremost, the wholesaler has absolutely no direct line of communication there. There's three or four different levels, typically, depending on the size of the firm. But it's not like it's not the wholesaler's role to get advisors a conversation with the portfolio manager, especially one when you just blast an email out in the morning. So that one was always, that one we find super interesting because it puts the wholesaler, it's like, everything that we know about this fund is available to you right now. So I don't know what a conversation with the PM is going to do besides some advisor with maybe like a couple $100,000 in a $1 billion fund, like yelling at them.
Right. And every manager, that's their primary concern at that point.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly. So those are a couple from the five, but it was a great episode. Those guys are bringing on some interesting guests. So it was great to be able to network with them and chat with some other folks that are like us that are just trying to have a different voice in the industry
and figure it all out. I love it. So I'll get that from you, and I'll link that in the show notes for anybody who wants to take a listen to it. So, okay. So tell us what's kind of currently going on in the wholesaler world. Like, what are maybe 2 to 3 trends that are happening right now that you think advisors should be aware of or that you'd like to share?
I can filter these out by the more formal ones that are like data driven and stats behind it. And then maybe some of the more informal ones that are just conversations that I'm having with friends and wholesalers at bars or when I'm out. More formally, shortlisting the number of fund families that advisors work with. So this one, very topically, or I guess coincidentally, I had a few advisors join the show, join podcast, where they basically said this without really saying it, that they're shortlisting their fund families. But the average advisor is going to work with no more than 5 fund families. And that stat is, especially for new wholesalers that are entering into, let's say they get promoted from an internal to external, that's pretty daunting for them. It's intimidating. It goes to show that it's really challenging to get that first meeting and to build new relationships, especially if you consider, let's say they're inheriting a territory from somebody that was there for 30 years and they've got their good old boys, their good old network. It can become daunting. So the limiting of fund families that groups work with or any advisor works with is 100% a trend. And some of the stats and data is that it's typically about 5. No more than 5 for groups that are kind of shortlisting how many fund families they work with.
Okay. So how do advisors get the most out of their relationship with their wholesaler? Like what would be kind of the trick for an advisor who's sitting down with somebody and saying like, I need a little bit more than you just, you know, asking me to give you 17 million of net inflows into your thing. What should advisors be asking for that maybe we don't realize or know that wholesalers can support? I mean, we kind of alluded to a couple of things, but what would you say for advisors listening? Like, here's how you get what you need out of your relationship.
For anyone that hasn't done it, I would say in your next meeting, sit down with your wholesalers or your shortlist them, your top ones, whoever. Plan out your year together. Make it as direct as possible what you need from them, whether that is event planning support, business development ideas that you've got for potential, whether it's sponsoring, I guess the traditional would be like a dinner or a lunch, but let's say like maybe the advisor wants to put together educational content or video content. How can the wholesaler help get you there? How can you point them towards the best tools or resources and obviously potentially fund it? But if someone hasn't had like maybe the direct, what I would recommend, sit down and have that hour long joint planning meeting together and just say like, we're partners here. Here's what I think I need this year. How can you help me? And let's participate in this together. Have that be really the foundation of your year together, as opposed to just perhaps not really having clarity on what we'll be doing this year and where it's going to get both of us. I think wholesalers appreciate that more than any advisor would know. Like if that means you don't need a call every month to go over portfolio performance, then that is totally fine. As long as that wholesaler knows this is our agreement for the calendar year, and here's how we'll mutually benefit. So hopefully that's helpful, but I have had many wholesalers say the best meetings that they can get is when it's a complete, upfront, transparent, like goals-based, let's get this done together this calendar year conversation.
Okay, I love that. So that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time. I think this is going to be just really an interesting episode for advisors to start thinking about these tools and resources that exist out there for our benefit, and maybe changing or flipping the script a little bit on what those relationships could and should look like. So I am super grateful. I will definitely link internal use only, which by the way, I think is just a genius name. Like I love me a good financial planning kind of joke. And I think that's just a fantastic name for a podcast for wholesalers. I think that's fabulous.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you so much for being here and sharing your wisdom and your experience with us. And I think some advisors will be willing to take a few more meetings and have a little bit more structure and maybe a few more thoughts of how they could really maximize and benefit from those relationships.
I agree. Thank you for allowing me to be on the show and for showcasing what we're trying to do here with the platform. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, and I'm super excited for these resources coming out. And just like I said, let me know when they're available and we'll make sure that this community is aware of them.
Will do.
Okay. Dan, he seems like a pretty nice guy, doesn't he? So I wanted to just kind of recap the conversation and bring it down into a couple of actionable things, right? Number one, I think when we're talking about really maximizing our relationship with our wholesalers is really setting an agenda for the meeting. Finding out ahead of time when a wholesaler is calling to set something up, what is the intent? What is the purpose? What is the goal of this meeting? And we're wanting to look for wholesalers who are really trying to build a partnership that they want the benefit to flow both ways. Sure, you know, they want more of their product placed, and you can certainly do that. And what is the benefit to you as the advisor? How will they make your life managing their product or their fund family easier? Do they think holistically about your business, right? Are they goals-based in their relationship with you? You know, no fluff, not just about placing product, not just about the numbers, but how can they help you in their product? How can, you know, so let's say it's an annuity or something like that. How can they help educate you, provide you information? If they're a fund family, how can they keep you up to date on what's happening inside of the portfolio and things to be aware of that you can then turn around and share with your client or that your team can use to help make the best guided investment decisions for your clients? And the third thing I would kind of call out is really limiting the number of relationships that you have. So no, every time a wholesaler calls and invites you out to a steak lunch, the answer cannot always be yes. Just like, right? Just like clients, we want to limit the number that we're working with so that we can have these true, deep, wonderful relationships as opposed to just a bunch of surface level wholesaler relationships where they're really just kind of pitching product. We want to use our wholesalers for all of the advantages that they do actually have. So I hope you found this episode helpful. I would love to share more out in the Efficient Advisor community and love to continue the conversation there about wholesalers. And I'm really looking forward to this resource that Dan is putting together. And when he does, I will make sure to notify you guys and let you know that, hey, here is a kind of a guide to wholesalers at different institutions. And you know, I don't know, I think it's kind of interesting. But anyways, I'd love to connect with you out on LinkedIn. If we're not connected, please, please, please reach out to me. I'd love to be connected. I love following advisors and seeing what you guys are doing out there. I find that stuff so fascinating. Clearly, everyone wants to hang out with me on a Friday night. And anyways, let me know if there's any other podcast episode ideas that you guys think would be helpful, or if there's anyone else that you think I really need to interview that could be a great resource or source of information for advisors. Thanks so much. I hope you guys have an amazing rest of your week, and I'll talk to you soon.